Good morning, church. How are you? So, I'm going to start us off today with a little bit of a story. And the story involves how technology never works when you want it to. There we go. So I'm going to start with a little bit of a story. The gentleman you're looking at, his name was Peter Torgerson, and he was born in Norway. And this morning, we had an offering plate go around. So when Peter Torgerson was 17 years old, an offering plate went around the church. And the offering plate that day was not a regular one, but it was one where people were talking about missions to China. And Peter took what was in his pocket and put it on the offering plate. Could we advance it? Just advance one. There we go. And on the offering plate, he put what money was in his pocket, but he also put a piece of paper that said, Og mitt liv, and my life. And as Peter went on, advance. He kept that promise. In 1918, he and his new wife went to Shanxi province in China. And they continued to serve there. They had a ministry that involved a lot of different things. They cared for the sick. They opened schools. He would sometimes go and speak in the market, and he would go traveling around to villages that were remote, and she would often meet with women in their homes. And Shanxi, both in that time and in modern times, was not a very advanced place. In fact, he had requested to be sent there because he asked to be sent to the hardest places, the places where there was no church and no one else wanted to go. Even today, until very recently, Shanxi was the most polluted place on earth because they had so much coal production, and you know, you could literally walk down the street and you'd come home and you'd be covered with a layer of black from the coal dust. So his name in Chinese, my Chinese is horrible, so please forgive my pronunciation. His name in Chinese was Ye Yongqing, Leaf Evergreen. And he served in China for over 20 years. And he was actually at home in Norway with his family when the Japanese attacked China in 1937. So there had been a takeover of the northeast of China earlier, but it was in 1937 that Japan fully started attacking the main part of China. And so he and his family were safe home in Norway at that time. And they and all the other missionaries who were at home were told, you don't have to go back to China. It's too dangerous right now. But he and his family chose to continue, and they went back into China. And as well as continuing the regular work they did, and they had a small church by this point, they were also caring for wounded soldiers, both spiritually and materially. And for several years, they were safe because they'd put a large Norwegian flag on their roof. And the Japanese felt like they couldn't bomb it and things because Norway technically was still neutral. But in 1939, war was declared with the Western powers, and Japanese bombers were sent to destroy their church. And Peter Torgerson died. His family were taken and sent to a Japanese internment camp. Now let's go to our text. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So we need a bit of context for this. In the earlier chapter, Paul had introduced the Macedonian churches, and they were in extreme poverty. They were very poor. But they gave generously. Even though they were poor, they gave generously. And Paul says of them, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. Meaning giving it to the apostles. And we begin chapter 9 with Paul going to the Corinthian churches and saying, you know, you were an encouragement to those Macedonian churches. And even a year ago, you promised to give generously to them and to the other churches. You promised to give generously. And your promise of that gift was such an encouragement to them that this helped them to give. And so this letter is written because it's time for that giving. And Paul is sending some of his co-workers to the city of Corinth to finish the arrangements for the generous gift that they had promised. So I think one of the things you see here is this idea that the very first line, what you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. What you sow generously, you reap generously. And we can see there a little bit of the foundation for what some people call the health and wealth gospel. The idea that we are in some kind of, you know, economic relationship where if we give God X amount, He's going to give us way more back and make us wealthy. That when we give, God will take care of us and make us rich. And here you can see that it has some rootedness in Scripture. Because it is true. But take a look at the life of Peter Torgerson. He gave everything that was in his pocket. He then spent years of his life training. He brought his wife and he had his children in service in what he gave on that offering plate and which he was faithful in. And God rewarded him generously. He died. His family were put in a Japanese prison camp. And in 1948, all the missionaries were kicked out of China. And in the decades ahead, Mao Zedong's wife would famously say, Christianity in China is dead. There's no Christians here. We buried them. And when foreign missionaries and foreign Christians went back to visit China, and they went to mission stations like Peter Torgerson's, and they went to try to find believers, they found none. And the reports we heard back then were, it was a waste. There's nothing there. So each of you, in verse 7, should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I would hope, and the evidence is that Peter Torgerson and his family, when they said yes, they didn't go sadly, they went with a lot of joy. And I think this makes me think of another passage in Scripture. Can we advance to slide one? There's a passage in Scripture. Oh, wait, back it up. There should be a pop-up on this first one. If it's not working, just let me know. Well, can we back it up? I'll just go off this one. There's a passage in Scripture that says, in Matthew 5:37, it says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And sometimes this phrase is, let your yes be yes. And this is one of the things I really hope to build in my children. You know, a couple days ago, I asked my son, hey, you know, my helper for the evening session tonight can't make it. Could you come with me? And he was like, Dad, I don't really want to, but if you need me, I'll come. But then the peace that I hope to instill is that when he comes, when he's sitting in the car, that he's not like this. What I hope to instill in my children and what we hope to instill in our churches is that when we say yes, it should be a yes. It should be a yes from here. I fully applaud and appreciate my son for saying, yeah, Dad, I don't really want to go, but if you need me, I'll go. Amen. Wonderful. And as we say that, we want to make sure that we follow through. That when we follow through and we're actually doing it, that we're like, yeah, I said I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep my word, and I'm going to do it from the heart, that it's my heart that God really desires. And if I said yes, I'm not going to doubt anymore. I've said yes, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do it with joy. So what I would hope as a church and as families is that we learn to give from the heart. And that when we give from the heart, that we follow through with joy. So I could say this for all of us, because we're all children of somebody. You know, when my mom invites me to an event, and I'm like, okay, I'll go. I hope that when it's time to go, I'm not like, oh man, it's one of those old people events with my mom. Or one of the other things I do sometimes is dishes for my wife. And I hate doing dishes. It's like up there with my least favorite activities, right? But I hope that when I do dishes now, I'm doing it with a smile. I'm doing it with joy, that I'm doing it with my full passion and energy, because I said I was going to do it. And my joy is not because I'm doing dishes. My joy is because I'm showing my love for my wife. So when we're giving in church, decide what you want to give. And when it's time to give it, do it with joy. Follow through. And if you've promised things, not even promise, if you said you're going to do something, in that same way, follow through. And when it's time to do it with joy. And I would say, as you look at this, also know that it's not easy. That the whole reason for this message is that Paul is sending people to Corinth because they haven't gotten things ready yet. So he says to them, in verse 2 of chapter 9, I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians. And then in verse 3 it says, But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. So you have the Macedonians who have been told how wonderful these Corinthians are because they've promised this money to help God and his church. And Paul's kind of saying, I'm going to send some brothers ahead of me to make sure that you're ready to give. Because that was a year ago. I haven't seen the money yet. And when we arrive, we want to make sure you're ready. So as we're calling you to be joyful givers, it's not easy. Sometimes you say you're going to give something, and afterwards you're like, oh, wow. And it might be an act of service. When I tell my wife I'm going to do dishes, sometimes I come home and I'm tired. Do I follow through with what I've said? Do I do it with joy? And here we see that the Corinthian church needs help. They need Paul to kind of send somebody in advance to kind of go, hey guys, don't forget. You said you were going to do this. Get ready to do it. Advance. Oh, okay. Slides are popping. Next one. And there's that verse from Matthew, and one more. And let's see if this works. Yes, it does. Okay. The clicker's working now. So give from the heart, follow through with joy. Now we're going to come to the second part of this. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. When we do something, do we do it because we're nice people? Do we do it to earn praise for ourselves? Do we do it so that people look at me and say, oh, you are so good? Or are we doing it out of our desire to glorify our Father, to honor our Father? Verse 13 reminds us, others will praise God for the obedience. Yeah, we're doing what we said we're going to do. That accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. You see, when we're doing things, it's easy to think, oh yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I'm doing it because of Jesus. We might be a little bit shy about saying a prayer, about being openly Christian in whatever way we are normally openly Christian. Verse 13 reminds us that our deeds and our words, our faith and our action need to work together. That when we do something, we should not hide the fact that we are Christian. We don't need to beat people over the head with it, but we do need to be openly Christian. If we're out for a meal and we normally pray, don't stop because you're in the presence of people who are not part of your family. If you have a time of devotions every day, don't stop because you're on vacation. If you're at work, we know that we live in a world that restricts Christian testimony, but it does not restrict your personal application of faith in your life. I wear a cross today. When I first became a believer, I didn't wear a cross. But I wanted a way to, in a small way, to constantly demonstrate who I am and who it is I follow. There's other little things that my family and I have put in place to, again, gently let people know who we are. That when we go out to a restaurant, we pray. And we usually do it in song because we want to do it with joy. If we've decided to do this, we want to follow through with joy, with gentleness. When people stay over at our house, we invite them to our evening devotions. We don't force it on them, but we want to show the same love in our actions that we have in our hearts, that the two need to work together. And when people see that the gospel you share about with your words is the same as the gospel they see you live in their actions to them, that has power. We are to live such good lives among the pagans that when God comes to them, they praise God. It's not because of us. I'm not a good person, but Christ makes me better. Christ teaches me to love more, to love even those who are enemies. My wife, when she was teaching, had a student who treated her horribly. The student made her cry several times. He deliberately attacked her in class. At their final end of year assessment, when she meets one-on-one with each student, gives them their grade, kind of lets them know how they did, he made her cry again. But this time it was tears of joy, because he came, and when he got his grade and he saw that he'd passed, he was like, "Teacher, I've treated you horribly all year, and you're being fair to me. And I know you're a Christian, because that's why I've been attacking you. But you're showing me that I'm the one that's wrong." So whatever we do, do it from the heart. Do it authentically. Don't fake it. Don't fake your love. If you say you're going to do something, follow through. But let your yes be a yes. Do it with joy. After you said yes, don't back up and say, "Well, now I'm not sure." Follow through, but do it with joy. And when you do it, do it again with all your heart. Let your love overflow. And don't hide the fact that you're Christians. Remember, Christ says, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father." In part, that's because if you deny me before men, then you never really belong to me. You were ashamed of me. And as we do all these things, trust God for growth. So going back to the story of Peter Torgerson, his life looks like a waste. From 17 years old, he dedicated his life to getting ready to go serve in China. And he went there and served for over 20 years. And he died there. He was buried there. His family ended up in a Japanese prison camp. So when we look at these verses about the blessings that God will give, it doesn't always mean that we are going to be rich, that we are going to be living lives with no problems. In 1990, the government, the communist government of Shanxi province, invited Peter Torgerson's children to come back to China. They were putting up this monument. You see, they took a look at the life of Peter Torgerson and said, he's a people's martyr. He died for the people of China. And so we want to put up a monument to him. He didn't have to come back. He didn't have to help our people, and yet he did, and he died for our people. And they invited his children to come back. And at the end of the ceremony, the government asked his children, would you guys come back and continue the work of your father? And they were like, you know we're missionaries, right? You know we're Christians, right? And the government said, yeah, we know. Peter Torgerson died in China. His family suffered for decades afterward. You know, there was a lot of pain. What was it all worth? What was it all about? 1990, his children came back and they were asked to come back in China and continue the work of their father. They didn't go. They were too old. But their grandson went. That's Finn Torgerson. He and his wife and his two children went back to China, to one of the poorest provinces, to one of the poorest cities, and they continued to do the work of their grandfather. And God has put his blessings on what was offered in that offering plate. They are now known as Evergreen, Evergreen Shanxi. They have now continued the work of their father since 1990. They continue to do medical work. They continue to do work training people in care. They continue to work schools. They continue to also share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the government loves them. Well, maybe not loves, but allows them. Their offices, when you walk in, will have a sign that basically says, what we're doing here, we're doing because we're Christians. Because we're followers of Jesus Christ. This would have been impossible without the sacrifice of Peter Torgerson. That sometimes what we put in can seem like there is no output. Sometimes what we put in, we're going to question what it's all about. Sometimes what we put in, we're uncertain about. That's okay. But give cheerfully, give joyfully. Trust that God is going to make it work. You might not ever see it in your life, but it's not about you. It's not about me. My giving is not about my getting a blessing. My giving is because I love the Lord my God, and I want him to be glorified. Finn Torgerson, there in the middle, he died last October. He died October 16th. The work of Evergreen Shanxi continues, though. And I'm not sure if we're going to see one of his children continue. We don't know yet. If you look online for Finn Torgerson, you can find his ceremony. It's up on YouTube. And one of the reasons I know so much about this is in 2010, when my wife and I came home to Canada, we were coming on a home assignment, and we had investigated where we would like to return and serve in China. And we had visited the Shanxi team several times, and they were where we intended to go and spend the rest of our lives. God changed that, and God placed us here in Canada. But we see what faithfulness to God can do. That open, loving, let your faith and your actions be in accord. It's all about your heart. Don't worry about what happens. That's God's duty. But follow through what you say you're going to do with your heart. Do it lovingly and openly as Christians. Don't hide the fact you are believers. And trust God for growth, and it will come. You might never see it. It might never fall. The glory might not fall on you, but it was never meant to. So I'm going to close in a prayer. God, when you call us to give, it's not our money you're after. God, our financial giving is just a reflection that our hearts, our strength, our wealth, everything belongs to you, Lord, because you are our Lord. That we have given ourselves wholly and completely to you, and that everything we have belongs to you. So God, help us with all the things you had blessed us with, whether it's our gifts, our talent, our money. May you help us to give it joyfully. And God, we trust you to grow and to magnify it so that the blessing falls on you, Lord, not on us. All of this we desire to be as your children. And we ask for your help in being more and more like you in our love, in our giving, and also in our unity as a family. And all this we lift up to you joyfully in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.